We now introduce the six parameters. The six parameters are generosity, forbearance, discipline, diligence, meditative concentration, and wisdom. These are the practices of bodhicitta in action. Previously, we introduced bodhicitta in aspiration, and that is the practice of the four boundless qualities: boundless love, boundless compassion, boundless joy, and boundless equanimity. And now these practices, the six paramitas, are cementing these qualities. And the final paramita mentioned, wisdom, is the most important. Wisdom includes all of the other five paramitas. As they say, wisdom should not be, or is actually inseparable from, compassion. To be able to truly practice great compassion, one must have perfect wisdom. And to have great wisdom must incorporate great compassion. It is like a bird that only has one wing. It needs two wings to fly. With only one wing, it can't fly. Likewise, if we are missing compassion or we are missing wisdom, then we aren't practicing great compassion and wisdom. The first paramita we will introduce is that of generosity, that of giving, and giving with kindness and compassion. We may give for different reasons. There are three general classifications: giving others protection, another is giving materially, and the third is providing of Dharma, or offering the Dharma. We may help and provide people with protection against what they fear. We may give them shelter. Giving materially, this could be anything really. It could be providing people with food. It could be giving them clothing. It might be money. The scope in with which we can give materially is really very, very vast. Another is giving time. The time we have is often very precious to people today. Many people who are doing okay materially may consider their time more precious than their money. They might be more willing to give away materially than they would give their time. And so giving time as an offering is really a precious offering. And then there's the offering of the Dharma, teaching others the Dharma. And this is really precious. And the fact that it helps people to free themselves of their afflictive emotions, to understand, to introduce them the importance of awareness, that they can practice compassion and kindness, and that they may attain wisdom emptiness, and attain Buddhahood, and benefit countless suffering sentient beings. So that they understand the truth of this world, the true nature of this world. And by offering the Dharma, then they hopefully practice the Dharma, and this may bring them material benefit and spiritual benefit in this lifetime and in future lifetimes. And definitely they can reduce their negative karma and generate a lot more positive karma. Very important is your motivation. See how vast your motivation is. And how great the merit is will also depend on what you're giving up. Are you just giving up some old clothes or some leftovers? This is really not as much merit as if you're giving away something or offering up something which you consider to be very precious to you or very valuable. As we mentioned, our motivation, if it is just to provide somebody with some relief from their hunger or their current present unhappiness, or are we giving it for the wish that it may benefit all sentient beings? Whatever you're doing, giving, try and raise the aspiration that although you may only be giving something small, that my motivation for giving it is very, very vast. that through this little offering, I make the aspiration that the merit of this may stay and benefit all beings until all beings have attained enlightenment. So although what you're giving is very small, your aspiration can be as vast as possible, really, really vast and of great merit. There's a story of an old lady that offered a butter lamp, just one single butter lamp. However, her aspiration was incredibly great. She sincerely wished for the benefit of all sentient beings. And in offering the lamp as well, she was a very poor old lady, and she sacrificed a lot, everything she had basically, to be able to make that offering. And when Buddha was asked about this offering that was made by this old lady, he said it was an incredible offering, and the power, the merit of her aspiration would surely enable her to attain Buddhahood and to benefit countless suffering sentient beings. And when you give, try and make sure that your motivation, your aspiration is pure. What do we mean by this? Is that you may be walking on the street and then a beggar comes and suddenly appears and is asking for some kind of offering, and you consider them to be a nuisance. And you think, well, I'll give something, but it's just really to get rid of them. It's not really that you have this great motivation that you really want to benefit them. If that is the case, maybe you get a little bit of a fright. Maybe they appear very suddenly. Then rather, initially, don't give. Rather, walk away. And once you have some space to think about what you really want to do, then decide, yes, I want to give, or no, I don't. And if you do decide to give, then go and give out of great respect, with respect and kindness, and really treat them in a way as if they are also important, even if your offering is only just a few cents. This way, you are giving them material benefit, and also you are giving them a sense of self-importance, treating them with respect. And also, when you're giving, make that aspiration that this benefits all sentient beings. That although you are giving something small, the merit may stay there until all sentient beings have attained enlightenment. And as practitioners, instead of viewing them as a nuisance, maybe thinking to yourself, why don't you go and get a job? You're so young. As a practitioner, rather see them as an opportunity to gain merit. Oh, how wonderful. I've got an opportunity to give now and to accumulate merit. Let me give to them and give to them with an open heart and with great respect and kindness. Also important in giving is our motivation, our intention. Our intention is to give. Sometimes we give and people are very grateful and we feel very happy about it. However, sometimes people don't show that gratitude. Sometimes you give to people and they show you this long face, as if to look at you, is this all you're giving me? They don't seem to have any gratitude. In this case, check your own motivation. You're giving because you want to benefit others. Otherwise, what happens is our ego gets involved, and then we think, I gave, but the people were ungrateful. This went wrong, and so our arrogance gets hurt. We may feel disheartened and stop giving. The important thing is the practice of giving, and that we are happy and that we have the motivation to give. This is giving us an opportunity to open up our own minds, our own hearts, and also to open our hearts irrespective of the hardships that might be involved, the disappointments. And through this as well, we'll be able to see how much attachment we have to whether the person is appreciative to what we're giving or not. And when we give, there are two people that are happy. The person receiving generally is happy, and generally the person making the offering feels a sense of happiness. How often do we put in so much effort and so much hard work for our own happiness, and the end result is we don't achieve happiness? Sometimes we even get stressed out and unhappy, or it's not the happiness that we were expecting. While in giving, we feel happy, and at the same time, we accumulate merit. The practice of generosity is an antidote to our attachment, to our stinginess, our miserliness. This attachment is like drinking salt water. The more we drink, the thirstier we get. An example of this may be somebody who is really wealthy. They don't need any extra. They have more than they need. However, in their mind, it's just not enough. Maybe they have $1 million. Then they want to earn $2 million. And then this is still not enough. Then they want $3 million. And they're never satisfied. And they go through their life like this, never truly being satisfied. And so they go to their death as well, still desiring, wishing for something else or something more. And you see for some people as well, although they have so much, they become more and more miserly. It becomes even more difficult for them to give away anything to other people. And sometimes our mind is very interesting. We don't feel like something until we see somebody else with it, and then suddenly we desire it. As the great yogi Jigme Lingpa said, the wealthiest people are those people who are satisfied and content with what they have. There is an example with Buddha. There was a precious jewel that he had, and his students asked him, "Who are you going to give this precious jewel to?" And he said, "I'm going to give it to the poorest person." On their travels, they met up with a really poor beggar, and they asked Buddha, "Are you going to give the jewel to this beggar? He's very poor." And Buddha said, "No." They carried on their travels, and then there was an even poorer beggar, and the students thought, "I'm certain Buddha's going to give the jewel to this beggar." And they said to him, "Will you be giving the jewel to this beggar?" And Buddha said, "No." And then later they met a king. And when they met the king, Buddha gave the king the jewel. And his students came running to him and said, "What are you doing? Aren't you going to give this to the poorest person? Why are you giving it to a king?" And Buddha said, "This king is the poorest of them all." And why did he say this? It's not because of the material wealth. The king had material wealth, but still within the king's mind, he was poor and didn't have enough. And this raises a good question. Where is the sense of being poor? Is it that we don't have materially, or because within our mind we feel that we don't have sufficient? Why is it so difficult to practice generosity? Is it because these material things are so important to us? Is it the material things that decide? Or is it our state of mind that decides? Is it our state of mind that is unwilling to give to others? And why is it that people are lacking in this life? Is because of cause and effect. Because previously they were possibly miserly. They didn't give to others. And so they are lacking now. They didn't accumulate merit, generate activities that accumulated merit in their past lives. And so now this life, they don't have sufficient, or they are lacking. And the masters say that a mountain of hard work doesn't equal a seed of merit. Many of the people that have abundance today is as a result of their previous positive karma, their previous generosity. They planted these seeds, and now these seeds have come to fruition, and now they have abundance. You see it with some people. They always seem to have enough. They never seem to be short of anything. Even some people who have absolutely no attachment to material things. For instance, look at Rinpoche. He has no material attachment. He may have a lot. However, as he says, if I have a lot, I'm happy. If I don't have any of this, I'm also happy. However, as a result of his past positive actions, wherever he goes, people give to him very generously. And what does he do with it? He gives and helps other people and creates opportunities, generates opportunities to propagate the Dharma. So at the same time as receiving, he doesn't use it on himself. He uses it to benefit others. And as a result, he's going to accumulate more and more merit. And in his future lives, then abundance will come back to him again. And on the other side, you get some people, no matter how hard they try, they go through all sorts of difficulties. However, they just don't seem to be able to succeed. They just always seem to be short of money, or have money problems, or have loan problems, or their crops fail, or business fails. And this is all as a result of positive karma or negative karma. The other people that have created all of that positive karma, this life, everything seems to go quite well for them, goes quite smoothly. They're never lacking. Through the process of giving, we make our mind more and more vast, more and more open. When we are full of stinginess, what happens is our mind is very narrow. What do we mean by narrow? Is that we are predominantly thinking about ourselves, concerned with our own self-grasping, and as a result, it's difficult for us to let go of our attachment, to let go of our material concerns, and to give to other people or to offer up our time to help other people. There is an example with Buddha again, where there was somebody that came to Buddha and asked some questions, and Buddha said that you must practice generosity. And this person said, this is very difficult for me. I'm very reluctant to give anybody anything. And Buddha said, okay, what you do is you start just by giving from your left hand to your right hand and practice this. And in the beginning, it was difficult for this person. And then they got used to this. And then Buddha said, now try giving something very small to somebody else, something that is not of such great value. And this person carried on practicing this and was eventually able to open up their mind, and they were able to give easily and freely. Through our practice, we can open up our mind, make it more and more vast, become more generous. And at the same time, while we're doing this, we will be accumulating more and more positive merit. In terms of the Dharma and giving to your teacher, the best is to offer up your practice. This makes your teacher the happiest. If you aren't offering up your practice, the second best is if that you help with your time and service. And then the third best is if you make material offerings. In many cases, why are the teachers receiving the offerings? Is because they are helping us to create or generate positive merit for ourselves, to open up our own minds, our own hearts. The best form of offering is if you are offering from the state of Rigpa. This is in the true nature of mind, and in the state of mind, there is this absence of a giver, a receiver, and an object being given. In the state of mind, there is the realization of the illusory nature of everything. Of course, in the beginning, we'll have a sense of I, and that this I is giving to somebody else, and we're doing it because we wish to accumulate merit. But gradually, we can expand our mind, it'll become more open, and we'll become more and more generous until we get to the stage when we are giving, free of these selfish desires, free of ego clinging. And the more and more we exhaust these selfish desires, the more and more time we expend benefiting and helping others.